Turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 this morning is where we'll be looking at and learning from this morning. Acts chapter 2. If you brought a copy of the Word of God, trust that you'll follow along. If you didn't, follow along with someone who did, and be good to hear what God has to say to us this morning from His Word. Well, let's pray together. Father, I do thank You today for the power of Your Word. Thank You for the power of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that He is not hanging on that cross. Thank You that He's not in the tomb. Thank You that He rose again. And this may be the day that He comes. And I would ask now that You would speak to our hearts through Your Word. Help us to be obedient to the truth this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to consider a question as we start the outset of this message. Why church? Why go to church? What's the big deal about church? You go to school to get an education so you can make a living. You go to work to make money so you can pay the bills. You go to the gym for exercise and better health. You go to the mall to shop for clothes and the grocery store to buy food. You go to the lake to fish, the ball game to cheer, and the golf course for fun. But church? What's the big deal? Why go there? Why get up on one of your few days off and go to church? Why go through the hassle, for some, to dress up and get yourself and your kids ready for church? Why church? I pose the question because it's especially important when in America, less than 20% of Americans go to church anywhere. Did you get that statistic? Less than 20% of America goes to church anywhere. So, I suppose we could go and ask the other 80%, why church? You might, for some, have to convince them that it is important. But to someone who understands church, like I do from the Bible standpoint, attending church can be a very rewarding and fulfilling week or fulfilling time in all you do that week. In Acts chapter 2, we find an account of Scripture beginning at verse number 41 and following, where it talks about the institution of the early church. And we find in the context that 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, God the Father had sent the Holy Spirit to empower the disciples to do the work, if you would, of the church. Now let me just put out there before you this morning that the church is not this building. The church is people. The church is, more clearly, those who have been saved, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They, one, become part of the body of Christ. Then they identify themselves with a Bible-preaching church in their community. And we find that this early church here in Acts chapter 2, many people had listened to the Word of God. Thousands had believed upon the Lord in that day. And we find from Acts chapter 2, verse number 41 through verse number 47, I'm going to give you at least three reasons from this passage of Scripture why church. Ready? First of all, it is a place to find faith. We find in Acts chapter 2 that there is a man whom God had used by the name of Peter. Peter is standing before a group of people and he is preaching a powerful message about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find in verse number 37 the response of the people where the Bible says this, "Now when they heard this," what Peter had just preached, "they were pricked in their heart," that is, they were convicted by that which they heard, "and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? In other words, now they are realizing that this Jesus, that this man of God just preached, is someone that they need in their life. They realize that they are sinful before a holy God. They realize that they have a need in their life. And it's not, if you would, church. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we find that they ask the question, what shall we do? Verse 38, he says this, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So we see in the context here that this was the institution of the early church, but it was founded upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, the man of God, preaches a strong, stirring message, which the Bible declares as the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? Have you ever had someone tell you something, and then they might add this statement, and that's the gospel truth? Well, I can tell you this morning what the gospel truth is, and Peter did as well. Look at verse number 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. And he starts his message out by talking about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He talked about his humanity, that when he was with you, he did great signs and wonders among you. And you heard many of his teachings and so forth. But then he talks about, in verse number 23, he says, wicked men crucified him, then they buried him, but God the Father, verse 24, hath raised Jesus from the dead. So the gospel, according to this passage, according to 1 Corinthians 15, is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you take any aspect of that away, it is a false gospel. Because you see, it was important for Jesus to die. It was important for him to be buried. But if that's where it ended, our faith is empty. It is meaningless. What we're doing here this morning really has no value, but it has great value for this reason. He not only was dead, he not only was buried, but he rose again. God raised his son Jesus from the dead. And so as Peter preaches this message, these people cry out and say, what shall we do? He tells them what to do. Repent. That means turn from your sin. Turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ and put your faith and trust in him as the only one that can forgive you of all of your sin. And we find that about 3,000, the Bible says, that day, think about that, about 3,000 people that day who heard that message received the word of God, they believed the word of God, and the Bible says that it was added unto them about 3,000 souls. And this verse number 47 says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So here was this challenging message. And then you'll find as you go throughout the book of Acts that this same kind of message continued to be preached. What happened? People heard it. They were convicted of their sin. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, and they put their faith and trust in him as the way, the truth, and the life, and their life was forever changed. Now, I tell you that why church is important is because it is a place where you can find faith. Now, let me do say this morning, that this is one of the primary roles of church life. that when the preacher preaches, as I am preaching this morning, that one of the things that ought to be done is that you preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I should draw all men unto myself. Yes, he was talking about that day when he would go to the cross and he would be lifted up on that cross. But he is saying as well that if we just lift up Jesus, people can see Jesus, and church really ought to be all about Jesus. Do you believe that this morning? It ought to be about him. And Peter made it all about him. And in the context, several of them that day came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So why church? Because it's a place where you can find faith. So I ask you, and I know many of you can say amen to this, but if you died today, would you go to heaven? Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? You see, the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. Praise God this morning. You don't have to say, I hope so. You can say, I know so. Not because you identify with a particular denomination, but that you put your identification in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You put your faith in him. You anchor your faith in him. I know, Paul said this, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So why church? It's a place where you can find faith. A place where you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I won't have you raise your hands, but just think about this. How many of you first came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior in a church service? I did. I heard my pastor preach as a 9-year-old boy. I understood what he was preaching, even at that young age. And I realized that I needed Jesus as my Savior. And from that day until now, I know that I know that I know that I'm one of God's children. Not because I was raised a Baptist. Not because my parents took me to church every time the doors were open, which they did. But when I heard that message, I realized my need. And that day he saved me. I got a forever gift. That if I drop dead right in front of you right now, while my wife would sorrow, I hope some of you would sorrow, but I would be in the presence of my Lord forever. You see, there's many people that don't have that hope. But Jesus came to give us that hope. And it is a hope that is not a, I hope so hope, but it's a hope with a certainty that I know whom I have believed. This group of 3,000 people found it that day. And they came to know the Lord as their Savior. So why church? A place to find faith. Secondly, it is a place to build your faith. After you come to know the Lord as your Savior, then you want to build on that. Look at verse 42. This same group of people that now have been saved, the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You read as you go through the book of Acts and even further than that, that this group of people in other churches as well, they were learning more and more about their faith, and they were learning more and more about the Word of God, and they were learning more and more what it was to have their faith stretched. These people in this day and age in which they were living, they had it tough. You have it tough this morning? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But I tell you that these people had it tough. To follow Jesus in the day and age in which they lived could mean persecution. It could even mean death. In fact, you go into chapter 3 and chapter 4 and chapter 5, you will find that as Peter and John are preaching the gospel, they get beaten for the preaching of the Word of God. They get threatened for preaching the Word of God because they were lifting up the Lord Jesus. And the only reason I'm saying this is this reason. That they realized that if they were going to follow Christ, if they were going to put their faith and trust in Him, that it could come at the very cost of being persecuted. It could come at the cost of being put to death, but nonetheless, they were going to live for the Lord. And so they had many opportunities to have their faith stretched. Now, I don't know what you're facing this morning in your life, but I can tell you this. The Savior who saved you will not leave you alone. He is there with you to take you through with whatever you're going through. And we find in this passage of Scripture that in verse 42, that these people who now have this newfound faith in Christ are continuing. They are going further with this relationship. They are continuing in the apostles' doctrine. Now I want you to think about this for a few moments. Church, why go to church? Because it is a place to build your faith. You see, there is a definite challenge in the Word of God that you hold in your hands this morning. A challenge to grow. Now, I'm not going to have you raise your hands, but there are many of you in this congregation this morning that have been saved many years. Praise God for that. But then there's some of you that have just been saved a short time. Whether you've been saved a short time or many years, the Bible challenge for each and every one of us is that we are to continue to grow in that relationship. Now, think about this. The Bible says in 2 Peter, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus more now than you knew Him when you first got saved? I trust you do. I trust that you know more about Him now than you when you first cried out and said, Lord, save me. Because the Bible challenges is to continue to grow. Listen to this in Colossians 2 and verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith. That as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, the challenge is then to continue to grow. Say, when does this growing stop? Until the Lord takes you on to glory, that's when it stops. But until then, you have the continual challenge, keep growing, keep growing, keep growing. Are you growing? Why church? Because it is a place to build your faith. And the source of the growth is this, the Word of God. We find that in verse number 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now that means that they were continuing to give themselves over to the teaching and the preaching that the apostles were giving from the Word of God. They were giving themselves over to that. But here is the important thing to see is that their source of growth was not man's opinion. The source of growth was the very Word of God. Those of you that have sat under my ministry any length of time, you have heard me say this over and over and over. Be in the Word of God daily. Why? Because Jesus taught man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so just as a person who is trying to build themselves up physically, they'll go into a gym, they'll lift the weights, and they'll take some protein and whatever else they do to build those muscles. Likewise, if I'm going to stretch my faith, if I'm going to grow my faith, I've got to daily be in contact with the Word of God. Go with me if you would. You have your Bibles. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want you to see a couple of verses, or just really one verse in this particular chapter. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 16. While you're turning there, let me read this verse to you. Romans 10:17 says this, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It was the Word of God that showed me my need of a Savior. So therefore, I heard the Word of God, under my pastor's preaching, and then I continue to grow in this relationship through the Word of God. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. Now look at verse 16 of 2 Timothy 3. All Scripture, that means from the first word to the last word, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the Bible is the source of our spiritual growth. It stretches our faith. It builds our faith. So why do I trumpet the message, be in the Bible? Why? Because the Bible will be a great safeguard for you in a day and age in which we live, in which there are so many false teachings going on in really throughout the world. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know what we believe. We need to know why we believe what we believe. Now I want you to think about this. Look at this verse again. All Scripture is what? Profitable for doctrine. That tells me what is right. Then it's profitable for reproof. That tells me what is not right. Boy, there's been times I've been in the Bible and it convicts me. What's it doing? Because it's pointing some things out in my life that are not right. But that's good, because it also tells me what is right. Then it says this, for correction, it tells me how to get right. And then instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. So this early church, they found faith. They put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they began to build their faith. They continued upon that which their spiritual leaders were teaching and preaching as they taught from the Word of God. They begin to make application in their life, and they begin to say, I can trust God for this. I can have faith in God for this. And then they begin to spread out that message to others and to tell others. And so they realize that in that day, if you ask them, why do you assemble together? Why do you come together? One of the things that they would tell you is, we come together so that we can build our faith. But notice this. There's a third reason why church is important. Because it is a place to share your faith from. Notice now, if you would, at verse number 46. The same group of people now. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so here we see that this church is going to begin to fulfill the mission that Jesus gave to the disciples in Mark 16:15, where he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This group of people was going to begin to fulfill that mission. They were going to grow in their faith. But then they realized, hold it, this faith that I have is not to be held to myself. This faith that I have, I need to share it with others. I need to share with them how that they can have this blessed assurance that I have in my life, this knowledge that says, I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. This Jesus is my Savior, and He can be your Savior too. You say, well, did they get it, Pastor? Well, let me say this. At this point, the institution of the church, we find there's what? 3,000 souls that are saved and baptized that day. But what I didn't read was in chapter 1, there's 120 people already gathered together. So let's just do some quick math. You have 3,120 people that are already established together. Chapter 4, we find 5,000 men that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So now you're at a church that 8,000 people. Then you get into chapter 5 and verse number 28 of Acts, and you see that the Bible says that this same group of people had filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. What does that mean? That they were going forth, they were leaving, if you would, the walls of their buildings as they had them in that day. They were going out and they were telling others in all of Jerusalem, filling that city with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were fulfilling the mission that the Lord had given them. Then you find in chapter 6 and verse number 7 that the disciples were just multiplying. In other words, this early church was experiencing great, great growth because they realized that that day that I got saved and the knowledge that I have now, I have a responsibility to go out into my home, into my community, where I live, in my workplaces, and to trumpet the gospel, to tell others of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So why church? Because it's a place to share your faith from. There was a lady on a certain Sunday who was inviting children to come to her Sunday school when she met a boy and asked him why he went so far from other and go past so many other Sunday schools to get to the one he was going to. And she said, "There are plenty of others just as good." And that little boy said, "They may be so good, but they are not so good for me." To which she asked him, "Why?" "Because they love a boy over there." You see, he felt loved in that context, if you would, of the place called church. And this morning, when you think about why church, church is important because it is a place to share your faith from. Several of you in this congregation this morning know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. In a little bit, we'll have our closing prayer and you'll disperse from here. All of us together have a great responsibility to go into our communities, into our places of work this week with what we have heard this morning and what we have heard on prior Sundays and what we know from our relationship with the Lord on a daily basis, that we are to go from this place and to just spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a responsibility. And we find here in this context, why church? To them, it was very, very important. They were willing to, if need be, lay down their very life for the Lord that they loved. The truth is this. The truth is, church isn't just something you attend. It's something you are. You see, in our thinking many times, that's how we think about church. Well, that's a place I attend. And I get what that means. But the truth is, church is something far deeper than that. You are the church. You know Jesus is your Savior, you're the church. And the church, in just a few moments, will leave this building and we'll go out into our communities. And we'll gather, Lord willing, next Sunday and do it all over again. To exalt the Lord, to lift Him up, to give Him praise. To teach and preach the Word of God. Because you see, the church, us, Jesus died for. He gave His very life for, so that we could have life. So let me wrap this up this morning. Why church? It's a place to find faith. So I ask again, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Is He your personal Savior? Didn't ask if you belong to a church. What's your relationship with Jesus? Do you have one? Is He your Savior? Praise God if you can say yes. But if not today, Won't you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him today to come into your life and save you? Best knowledge in all the world is to know Jesus as your Savior. Why, church? It's a place to build your, to grow your faith. It's a place to grow your faith. Are you growing? Or have you just kind of stalled in your Christian life? Or what's even scarier yet, are you just satisfied? Don't want to take it to another level? Listen to the Bible challenge, but grow, grow, grow in grace. Don't ever be satisfied where you are spiritually. What I mean by that is, don't get to that place where you just kind of stall. Hey, I'm on my way to heaven. God wants you to go to heaven while you're on your way. Keep growing. Keep growing, keep growing, keep growing. Are you growing in the Lord? Just as the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Let this be your best friend. Sometimes we as spouses will say to each other, you are my best friend. Be able to say that about your Bible. This is my best friend. It's my guide. It's a great companion to me. Oh, I love the Word of God. Why, church? It's a great place to share your faith from. Go forth from this place today determined to be used of the Lord to tell someone this week about Jesus. That's our mission. That's what we're all about. That's why we are here still to this day. Church is important. Your relationship with Jesus is. Live for Him. Follow Him. Every head bowed and every eye closed. So do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? I wonder this morning, there'd be those here who say, Pastor, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is my Savior. That I can take you back in time in a life, in my life when I realized I was lost and I needed Jesus as my Savior and I cried out, Lord, save me. So, Pastor, I know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. If you can say that, would you raise your hand right where you're at all over this congregation this morning? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I wonder this morning there'd be those here who say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand, but God sees my heart and I don't know for sure. If I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. I really am. I want to know how I can have my sins forgiven. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. I want to know that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pastor, that's my need. If that's your need this morning, with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, just raise your hand. I'll acknowledge you, put it right back down. So yes, Pastor, that's my need. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand right where you're at? I'll acknowledge it. You can put it right back down. Anybody at all while we wait? Anybody at all? Now, why, church? Are you growing, Christian? Are you growing? Are there those here this morning who say, Pastor, I've just kind of flatlined. I've kind of just stalled in my life spiritually. And today, I realize that, and I just need to ask God to help me to get growing again, to get moving in my relationship with Him. And I would that you remember me in prayer, Pastor, that I will just start growing, keep stretching my faith. If that's your need, would you raise your hand right where you're at? Anybody at all while we wait? Yes, God bless you. Are there others? So yes, that's my need. I've just kind of stalled. I've kind of just not really given a lot of attention to my spiritual growth. I need to. Anybody else while we wait? Anybody else? I wanted to be those here this morning who would say, Pastor, there are people upon my heart that do not know Jesus as their Savior. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning, that God would work through me to tell them of the gospel and to share with them the gospel, even if I've already done it before, that God would work through me again to share with them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, remember me in prayer that God will use me that way. Yes, God bless you. Just lift your hand up. Yes, yes, yes. You have several people upon your heart. Anybody at all while we wait? Several people upon your heart. Do you want us to remember you in prayer about this morning? Anybody else while we wait? And now, precious Father, I thank you this morning for the power of your word, and I praise you for those that have said, I have grown to a place in my life where I've kind of just stalled spiritually, and you've touched their heart about that this morning. Please strengthen them. Please help them this morning. Give them victory. For these this morning, many hands have been raised who said, I have some loved ones, some co-workers, some friends that know not Jesus, and they want you to work through them, Father, this week to tell others, to tell them of Jesus once again. Open those doors of opportunity for them. Help them to walk through those doors boldly with compassion in their heart for those loved ones. Help them to reach them. So, Father, help us to be all in our relationship with you and all in this matter of what your Bible declares as the church. It's not this building. We are the church. So help us to be all that we should be for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, let's stand together. And as we stand, God has spoken to your heart in any relationship to the message this morning. And would help you to come, I'm going to encourage you to come, to step out. Be glad to pray with you. You want to pray by yourself, that's fine. You're not certain that Jesus is your Savior. Won't you step out? We'll have someone sit down with you and tell you how you can know Jesus as your Savior. This morning it may be, on this Back to Church Sunday, you'd like to unite with this church and make this your church home. Won't you come? Grow with us here in this place and reaching this community with the gospel. Maybe you've truly been saved, but you've never followed the Lord in baptism. That's the next step of growth for you. Won't you say, you know, to the Lord today, I'm going to surrender to you in that area. Won't you come today? Just spend some time praying about it and just say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to obey you in that area. Maybe you just have a heavy burden for someone. You want to see them saved. You just want to come and pray. Won't you come? Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Amen. Look this way. If